season. You'll see what they bounce back like Saturday now. Be interesting.
I suppose they must see that, I suppose, in a way. I suppose if you've got a team that you come up against as the unbeaten, do you see that as a 3 points gained? If you know what I mean, that's like a plus 3 points on what you expected to get.
From Whiteley's point of view,
yeah,
definitely. They wouldn't have expected to go there and get anything. So, yeah, it's a bonus, big time.
So, happy days to Whiteley. So, they've surely got to be in the running for a team of the week for next week. But
ooh, two results, we
would expect so. But fixtures then for the weekend. And on Friday night, it's a Friday night game this week in the Ryman South. It's Guernsey versus Mersham. It's a 7:45 kickoff there. On Saturday, it's in the Ryman Prem, it's Billericay versus Hendon, Dulwich Hamlet versus East Thurrock United, Grays Athletic versus VCD Athletic, and Hampton and Richmond Borough versus AFC Hornchurch, Harrow Borough versus Canvey Island, Leatherhead versus Maidstone United, Lewis versus Leeston, Margate versus Wingate and Finchley, Metropolitan Police versus Kingstonian, Peacehaven and Telscombe versus Enfield Town, Tonbridge Angels versus Bury Town, and Whittam Town versus Bognor Regis Town. In the Ryman North, it's AFC Sudbury versus Chatham Town, Barkingside versus Dereham, Burnham Ramblers versus Cray Wanderers, a game that I think we must say that they've got to win, Burnham, to stay up, I would have said, almost. Chesnut versus Averley, Harlow versus Brightling Sea Region, Malden Triptree versus Thurrock, Needham Market versus Waltham Abbey. Banana skin?
Could be, hopefully.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so they can get out their ground first.
Yeah.
They need to put all that in the goal, man.
Romford versus Heybridge Swiss, which of course is the other important game on the Burnham Ramblers front, because if Romford win that and Burnham don't, then Burnham are relegated at the weekend. Thamesmead Town versus Redbridge, Tilbury versus Sermtown Rangers, Ware versus Brentwood Town, and Wroxham versus Great Wakering Rovers. In the Ryman South, Burgess Hill Town looking to bounce back against Chipstead, Crimpfing Casuals versus Herne Bay, East Grinstead Town versus Wharton Casuals, Hastings United versus Horsham, Hive Town versus Tooting and Misham United, Red Hill versus Sittingbourne, South Park versus Ramsgate, Wharton and Hersham versus Faversham Town, Winstable Town versus Three Bridges, Whiteleaf versus Carshorton Athletic, and Worthing versus Folkestone and Victor. On Monday, it's Billericay versus Leiston. And in the north, it's Averley v Redbridge. On Tuesday night, it's Harrow Borough versus VCD Athletic in the Prem, Margate versus AFC Hornchurch, and Whittam versus Peacehaven and Telscombe. In the Ryman North, it's Tilbury versus Thurrock, and Waltham Abbey versus Great Wakering Rovers. In the Ryman South, Crimpfing Casuals versus Burgess Hill Town, Faversham Town versus Carshorton Athletic, Red Hill versus Mersham, Sittingbourne versus Tooting and Mitcham United, and South Park versus Worthing. And in the Surrey County Cup semi-final, it's Moseley versus Met Police. Wednesday night, Grays Athletic versus Tonbridge Angels in the Prem, Lewis versus Enfield Town. That's a bit of a travel, isn't it, on a Wednesday night? Ryman North, Romford versus Barkingside. And in the Cambridge County Cup semi-finals, it's Sermtown Rangers versus Great Shelford. And then this time next week, it's Hendon versus Corinthian Casuals in the quarter-final of the London County Cup. We'll have a quick look at the goal scorers. And in the Ryman Prem, it's Sam Higgins still top with 28 for East Thurrock, David Knight 23 for Wingate and Finchley, Kieran Bishop and Ryan Moss with 19 from AFC Hornchurch and Margate. Frederick Lapio has got 18 for Margate, Charles Moon 17, Jay May 17, Kieran Hughes-Mason 17, Leon Smith for 17, Hendon, Leatherhead, Maidstone and Hampton Richmond Borough. On 16, Franny Collin, Oliver Pearce, Daniel Moody. Oliver Pearce, 16, Bognor and Maidstone. On 15, Daniel Moody, Kezia Bit, the one I can never say, on 15 as well. Leatherhead, Hendon and Harrow Borough. On 14, George Purcell. If it's just like a Scrabble name, you just got to have a look at it.
Bet he's over the moon.
Oh, he's
a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
Valios. Yeah, is it something like that? In Ryman North, still top, just. Alex Reid, 30 for Harlow Town. Christy Finch, 28 for Wroxham. Jason Hallett, 25 for Waltham Abbey. Sam Newson, 24 from Needham Market. Remy Gordon, 21 from Wroxham. Ross Wall, 18 for Thurrock. Luke Ingram, 16 for Needham Market. Luke Stanley, 16 for Sermtown Rangers. Jay Nash, 15 for Great Wakering Rovers. Tyrus Gordon-Young, 15 for Thamesmead Town. And then on 14, we've got Neil Richmond, Ryan Hawkins, Samuel Bantick and Stanley Sherwin for Brentwood, Dereham and Tilbury. And 13 for Adam Bowley. In the Ryman South, on 28 is Chris Smith from South Park, Ian Draycott 28 from Folkestone and Victor, Ian Pullman 22 for Winstable Town, Daniel Summers 21 for Tooting and Mitcham United, Roscoe Desand, 21 for Whyteleafe. Stuart King, 19 for Herne Bay. Frankie Sawyer, 18 for Redhill. Mark McGrath, 18 for Guernsey. Tommy Hutchins, 18 for Mersham. Patrick Harding, 17 for Burgess Hill Town. Sean Welford, 17 for Hive. Wayne Wilson, 17 for Faversham. Anthony Nwakachu, 16 for Horsham. Austin Garencia, 16 for Carr Shortland. And Jamie Bright, 16 for Crimpian Casuals. I wonder how far away he is, the Green Avenger, from that lot. I don't think it'll be long. I think it was Chris Smith better look over his shoulder, because if he's banging in fours and when you get twos all over the place.
Yeah, but Chris got hat-trick in the week as well. You think two Saturday, one on Tuesday. So I think he's okay.
We'll see.
But saying that, Ian Dracos banging goals in for Folkestone in that league as well. Mm. He's been about.
So then, Ryman Prem, still top. Maidstone United, 38 points. So 38 games, 83 points. Second now, Hendon, played 37 with 74. Margate are next, 35 with 70. Dulwich Hamlet, 39 with 68. Met Police, 38 with 61. And then on 60, we've got Enfield Town, East Thurrock, all on 60. Wingate and Finchley are on 60. Leiston on 59. Kingstonian 58, Leatherhead are on, Kingstonian 58, Bognor Regis 58, Leatherhead 57. So that last playoff space is
I think it goes down to Grays as well, yeah. Dave, because they've only played 37 and they're on a bit of a run. So they watched them on Tuesday.
Billericay 36.
Billericay as well, yeah. They're going great guns apart from their defeat. So the surprise package to me that's come from nowhere is Enfield. You know, I watched them the other week and no disrespect to them. If someone had told me that they were going to push for the playoffs, I would have laughed, and I know teams can have an off day, but they've actually come from the pack from nowhere. But I think
they've been all the top sides, haven't they?
They have, and I think it's down to Dulwich and Met Police that they've had an absolute awful run recently. And I know Gavin hopefully might be on later, but all you need to do at that level is put a run of three or four or five games, and bang, you're there.
Especially when it comes to the playoffs, whoever comes into them playoffs flying, if Enfield can sneak in there, then you never know.
Mm.
Coming second is,
Yeah, I said Hendon's just putting a bit of pressure. We spoke to Gary last week, didn't we? And, they're on a great run. And all they needed was to put a run of games together. They kept having so many cancelled, called off. Now they're playing. It's going to be tight. But I was looking at Margate's fixtures as well. And especially in April, they've got a Monday and a Thursday night already. And that's without any others getting called off. That's it. They've got about seven games in their last month. That's going to be tough, especially if, and it's an if, they go in the playoffs straight on the back of that.
Yeah. There's no break, is there? The season finishes, you're straight in the playoffs.
And I think the thing with it is, as well, everybody's been saying it's a two-horse race. Well, you know, if Hendon win that other game in hand, all of a sudden they're only 6 points behind, and they've got to play, and I think if I'm right, son, I think they've got to play Maidstone and Margate.
Yeah, they do. And Maidstone have got, obviously, Margate not this Saturday next. So that's a sellout. That's a massive game as well, especially if Margate do win their game in hand. And win that. You're looking at the top three going head-to-head the end.
Yeah, because, the big boys might be looking out, not looking at each other, and all of a sudden little end and sneak in on the inside and take it. It's possible. And I still, as I said to you before, I still don't see Maidstone and Margate both getting promoted. I think one or the other will go, but I think the other one will probably end up staying.
That's big blow for whoever it is who doesn't.
Yeah, it's a toughie, that one. I think it's difficult. I think if you're still in the playoffs and you get Margate or Maidstone, you're gonna be not worried, but you're gonna be sitting there thinking, oh great,
unless you're Enfield Town.
Well, they beat both, and like I said, and for me, Hendon's just done such a great job. And said we spoke to Gary, and he does everything right, and especially with the limited facilities they've got compared to them, the other two big boys. It's an unbelievable.
And
they're hanging in there all year.
Well, at the bottom, we've got Berrytown, played 39, 25 points. VCD have played 38 with 34. Harrowborough played 38 with 34. Whittemore played 38 with 36. AFC Hornchurch, 37 with 38. Hampson Richmond Borough, 39, 41. Tonbridge Angels, 38 with 42. And then 2-44, probably safe. Canby Island.
Yeah, we spoke about this bottom's getting more and more interesting. I went and watched VCD play Grays in the week, and game of two halves. I know you had Tony on here the other week, last week when I went in with my mate, but they played really well first half, just couldn't score and conceded and come back. And every team around them was winning, apart from Hornchurch. I said they had their keeper sent off last week, Motti, and they still won and then lost in the week. I'd say Lewis have gone clear now. I don't think they're going to get there, but I said when I went and watched Hampton play and Grays and Charlie Moon get sent off, I said that could be a big, big blow, and I think it might be. I think they could get dragged in there.
Not a good advert for the North, though, is it? Whittam and VCD both struggling after going up?
It's an Ireland, and I spoke about that. You know, VCD play great football, and if you watch them play, you know, they have all on Tuesday night, you wouldn't sit there and go, oh, they're in the bottom two. They're all my friends over there. If they had someone that can bang the ball in the net and get them 30 goals, 20 goals even, they'll be sitting mid-table towards the playoffs. They've got a, you know, good
always
play.
Play good stuff.
Yeah. They have, but they just can't finish in the final third. And Whittam are a little bit different. They're more direct and solid, and you can get found out a little bit. But it's tough. That league is so tough.
We looked at their fixtures, I think, with Tony last week. And
if
actually you go back and look at all their results, there's one goal in it all the way through. All their games, I think there was just one on it where they lost, I think, 2-0 or 3-0 or whatever it was. But it was crazy.
But I think it was similar last year, but they were coming out on top in them games.
They were. Like I said, the first half, they absolutely dominated against Grays. And they had a couple of shots. Grays didn't have a shot on target. A minute to go in the half, they get a free kick, Grays whip it and score. And that summed them up. And then they missed a chance up that hit the crossbar from on the goal line. And, you know, they just needed to get in at half-time or score, and the confidence would have come through. You know, they only beat Dulwich the other week. So
that's the difference, both boxes, isn't it? That's where you got to be.
That is at that level. That is at that level.
Ryman North then. So Tots still need a market. Played 39 with 92. Harlow played 39 with 87. Sudbury 39-77. Wroxham 39-72. Brentwood 38-72. Thurrock 38 with 67. Dereham 39 with 67. And Brighton and St Regent 38 with 64. At the bottom, Burnham Ramblers 39-18. Cray Wanderers 37-25. Barkingside 36-34. Romford 38-36, and then Chatham Town 39-40, then 2-41, Great Wakering and Redbridge. But as we said, it's, they've got seven games left, 21 points, 39. So, literally, if Romford win at the weekend, it's...
It's sad when a team can get relegated. You say this early, but they've come up, and, you know, I've seen them play a couple of times. They've done okay, but when you've conceded 119 goals, it's not the best in the world, is it?
No, it's tough. Let's be honest, they're not a good side. He's trying to work wonders down there, but it's difficult for him, Bertie.
Shane, the first time I went there, the facilities are decent over there. The pitching, the changing rooms, but it's like I said, they took a step up, haven't they? And comes up, the big thing, and I keep saying this, and it's Cray. I can't believe that they're sitting there with the facilities and what they've got there. It's mad.
But even recently, the players they brought in are good players.
Great players.
But they've still not turned the results around.
No, like I've said, I've watched them a few times in the last couple of weeks. And against Brighton, you see, the first 35 minutes, they dominated. Two chances, couldn't score. Sam Newson's gone up the other end, bang, goal.
Yeah.
And you've gone, unlucky.
Yeah.
So, that's it, unfortunately.
We'll go to the south. We'll come back to the top.
Don't you want to talk about the top?
We'll come back to the top with Spencer later in a minute. But we'll do the south. So it's top now. But Burgess Hill Town played 37, 94 points. Folkestone and Victor played 39, 81. Faversham Town played 38 with 80. Mersham have played 38 with 74. Whiteleaf have played 39 with 66. Herne Bay have played 40 with 61. Winstable Town 39 with 60. Worthing 38 with 59 and Guernsey 39-55. At the bottom, we've got Horsham played 39 with 30, Redhill 38 with 35, East Grinstead Town 38 with 37, Ramsgate 38 with 37, Hastings 39-37, then a gap of 7 to Wharton Casuals 39-44. And Wharton Hersham 39-44.
They're safe, and it's just to the Hastings, and again, there's some big clubs down there, especially down my neck of the woods. We said about Hastings and Ramsgate were both playing in the Ryman Prem not too long ago. I know Horsham were, but, to be in there, and especially this club the size of Hastings, I know they're just above it, but, it's going to be a shocker.
I suppose the likes of Redhill and East Grinstead, Ramsgate, I suppose they're only hoping that it's two down from that division, so they might be able to sneak out of it.
They're both, obviously, we can talk about reprising that later, but I think it's going to be maybe two down from both. Instead of the three and the Ryman Prem. Everyone keeps saying that there's two teams that have got, obviously, with the Hereford and Salisbury thing, but the Conference South, one of them already get a reprieve because there's only a 23, and it's the next best team out of the other two leagues. And the North League, the team's got 40 points that are fall from bottom. So at the moment, they would get that promotion. So as I said, we were looking last year, you're not just looking at the teams around you, you're looking at other leagues and you're competing against their results. But... Redhill as well, if you've seen, Frankie Sawyer scoring a few goals, he's been about a bit, and he started to bang a couple in for Redhill, so could he be the one that they've got in that could get them a couple of goals.
I mean, they were unlucky against Burgessill Town as well during the
They were beaten 2-0, weren't they?
Yeah. And I think it was 1-0, wasn't it? And they got equalised in about 86 minutes, Burgessill. Mm. So it was, you know, it was, you know, they got very, very close to being the first team to beat them.
It's funny, if you look at the sides around the bottom, and we will go down to around South Park because obviously Christmas, but they've got a couple of top goal scorers. Horsham have, you know, Redhill. This is mad. Yeah. What would happen if they weren't there?
Yeah, well, they're lucky to still keep them, aren't they?
Well, that's it. That is true.
But it's going to be interesting. I mean, I think now, I think we said about, well, I said about Guernsey getting in there. I think they've blown that now. But it's that gap now is, it's going to be sort of Whiteleaf, Herne Bay, maybe Worthing as
Whitstable
well.
Whitstable could get in there because they've had a little run. But I think Whiteleaf, after their last few results, that should spur them on. And obviously, with their pitch at home, that will help them as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's Folkestone and Victor, you would say Folkestone and Victor, Faversham probably nailed on. But in it's just...
Yep. Yep.
And Mersham was sort of getting there.
Well, Faversham had just signed Stuart King from Herne Bay as well, and I've known Stuart for a long time. He's a goal scorer, and I think they've done really well pinching him off Herne Bay for the running. So that could cement their place and maybe a playoff final as well.
So going back, should we go back to this Ryman North then?
Yeah.
What? I've heard today, actually, Dave, that they're scrapping the playoffs in the Ryman North, and it's just the top two to go up.
It's like so, yeah. It'd be quite so, nice, yeah, wouldn't it?
No problem at all.
Yeah, no issues. So what do we think then? So, I mean, we're sitting in at this point in time. We're all on level games now. 6 points in it. And five, yeah. Me and Ray
give him an extra point.
Yeah, give him an extra point. But me and Ray talk about it all the time, and it is a case of only one defeat, and it's back in our own hands again.
Yeah, of course it is, but it's... Fair play to them, they've been on a great run. Same as Sudbury have, and we've bounced back with four on the bounce. Mm. So that's what you've got to do in the running. You got to put it together. And if they do go on and win the next seven games, then you have to take it after them. And you deserve to win the league winning 11 on the bounce or whatever it would turn out to be.
Yeah. I went and watched them the other week against Brentwood. And first 15, 20 minutes, I thought, you know, Brentwood done okay, but they just started to grind it out. And they just looked strong.
They've got a lot of great players. They're a good side. You're top of the division on merit. Mm. So when we played them down here, I thought we did a good job. We played it. We played really well that day. But you can tell they were a good side.
Yeah.
Just
got to hang in there. You've got to play them second to last game. If you're only a couple of points behind, there's going to be some funny results between now and the end of the year. We've said this all the way along in all the leagues. Yeah. You know, they're not going to win every game.
You look at the games that both of us have lost, and it's generally against the sides that are in the middle or towards the bottom of the league. No, we've not lost to anyone who's in the playoffs.
No.
And I don't, their defeats have been ones that you wouldn't expect either.
I mean, Paul Wickenden's an Arlo man anyway, so let's hope he does the business for us.
That's it. Nah, I went to watch the Abbey the other day. They're hit and miss. Big time hit and miss.
Difficult place to go up there, though. The pitch and that. And I know we went up there just before I left, and it's bad weather. It wasn't in the great nick, and, you know, it's not the biggest pitch either. Mm. Could actually cramp a little bit of Needham style, so...
Well, if the ball falls in the box, my mate Jason Hallett will score.
That's right, he can. He can.
So, yeah, I'll be giving him a shout Friday night to make sure he does.
But even when I was down there to see the game at Cabershots, and, I mean, not being funny, Abbey probably should have won that day. It was only the fact they had the left-back there that was... bombing down and giving the freedom of the park constantly all the time, and you know, he was just basically bombing up and down all the time, and they were giving him freedom of park, and he created a couple of the goals. So that was the only issue. I think if they'd been able to score on that day, I think they probably would have beat him.
But yeah, the pressure's on. You're top of the league, and everyone expects you to win a home game, so it doesn't always work that way. We just got to make sure we win our games, and we'll see what happens.
I see. You just got to concentrate on yourselves, haven't you? Have you sort of with 6-7 weeks playing, we set up, you know, we spoke about it the last couple of weeks about we've only got a week or so to add players. Have you had a discussion about that? And, you know, obviously the news about Alex coming back maybe towards the end of the year is a bonus, but still a big ask.
The fact is, if he's back in 3 or 4 weeks, it's still going to take him a couple of weeks to be match fit. And if we've got players banging in when he's not here, do we even bring him back in? We might not even need him, we'll see. But we're always looking to go shopping, especially in the final month. And there might be an announcement later on. You never know.
Good.
We're all sitting here keeping mum.
Yeah, like, now listen, you've got to. I think it keeps other people on your toes as well. And you know, as we said the other week, you know, you can't just think, oh, I've got Jared, I've got Anton up front, and Billy. You know, if one of them gets injured as well, you're struggling. So I think it's important. I think every manager looks to, you know, even Sudbury have added and whatever in the last few weeks. Yeah.
Well, the fact is, we've been fortunate, really, with injuries throughout the year. And really stayed fit all last year and the majority this year. And the fact that we play one up front with two wide means to bring somebody else in, we found it difficult because they know that you've got the top scorer in the division.
Yeah.
And we play one up front. So it's tough to bring people in who are willing to fight for a place. I've spoken to 10 or 15 players this year and invited them to come and join us, and they don't believe in their own ability to come and get in our team. And that's been frustrating.
Yeah.
People know we've got good players and they don't believe in themselves, which surprises me a lot.
No, that is, and me. You'd think, like, get a chance, take it. And Alex stepped into someone's shoes somewhere along the line when he first came in. So
you got a prime example, Mark Gorbell. We signed him from Burnham, and listen, he jumped at the chance. That's what you'd expect. Yeah, we signed. He's playing for a team who's bottom of the league, and you get the team near the top wants to sign you. You don't think, oh, will I get in their team? You come and join.
Of course you can. You've got to have ambitions.
We wouldn't be trying to sign players if we didn't think they were good enough.
Not at this time.
I think he's been, you know, he's done a brilliant job for us. Every time I haven't been over it sporadically now because of my job and that, but it's every time I've come over, I thought he's had a great game.
No, he's done okay. We played against him a couple of times and he did well for them, even though we walloped him. He did okay.
Well, they're the ones that stick out.
That's the thing. We've been looking all year to try and strengthen as everyone is.
Mm.
And whoever plays well against us, we try and go and get them.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Yeah. But I mean, I think the one disappointing one for me that we lost halfway through the season was Daniel when he had to go back to Southend, because I thought that was he was St. Kells at the back.
Yeah, we've spoken a few times to Southend to try and get him back, but he's been in and around the first team squad. So he's a good player. And the best thing about Dan was that his attitude was spot on, and he bought into what we're trying to do, and he wasn't one of those guys that comes in on loan and thinks
that's the only problem with loan players, though. And like I said, I know VCD had a couple from Charlton, and I've had some. You've got them, they're going great gun, you're doing well, and all of a sudden, on the Friday night, they're dragged back and you're absolutely left nowhere.
And that's exactly what happened here, and luckily enough, we've got a big enough squad to deal with it. But, yeah, he was making himself a fixture in the side. And then, but the flip side of that is he was playing well for us, which meant he got the call for Southend.
Yeah.
If he wasn't doing well for us, he wouldn't have got that shout. So, he's a Southend player, it was helping us out. But, yeah, we've definitely spoken to him a few times to try and get him back, so we'll see. Maybe the door's still open to that one before the end of the season.
I mean, I know. I think the one player that's impressed me, I think, for me this season, like Fabs, is always is impressive whenever he goes out on the pitch. But the other one for me was, I was here previously when he was part of the club before and then went away to different clubs in a break, and he's come back this year. Was Mr. Cowley.
I think he's just been...
Played him in a different role from what I've seen him. I've seen him four times this year, and in the centre, you're sitting there thinking, oh, could he play there? But he's out there, he definitely can, but he's done well.
The thing about Cowley, the first time I met him, I was at Chelmsford, and he came on trial, and he must have been 17, 18 then, and you could tell he had ability, but he was a bit small and a bit lightweight, especially for that level. But whenever I played against him when I was at Ware, and he was playing for Sudbury or Needham, always played wide.
Yeah.
Generally wide left, great feet, good end product. But since I've been here, you can tell he's grown up as a player.
Yeah.
We've given him the captaincy second half of the season, and he's relished it. He's took it on board, taken on that responsibility. And I think you've got to have your best players playing in the middle.
With your formation you play, I like three in the middle anyway. Yeah. And I would say, you can play. Fabian looks after him. Yeah. He does a lot of work. He wins the ball and he plays. And, you know, the way you play football as well, you've got to have someone like that in the middle of the park that can play. And you know, I like the way he's got a mentality, as you say. He spots the ball quick. He tries to play quick.
Yeah.
Tries to get you on the front foot. So...
Yeah, but there have been times when we've tried to be a bit more solid. Wroxham away is a prime example. Yeah. When we've asked him to go and do a job out wide, and he's done it. He's more than capable, obviously. But there have been times, away from home, when we've wanted to go a bit bigger, in the central area and sort of sacrificed him out there. But home games, yeah, no doubt we want people in there who can play.
I think what people don't realise as well around the team as well, that the how young a lot of the players are as well. I think they're very young players.
Josh is fairly young, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's another one of those that you forget sometimes that he's 21, 22 because he plays with that sort of swagger, if you like.
Yeah.
He's been great for us. He's one of those, he's a big confidence player. If he concentrates for 90 minutes, he doesn't make a mistake. He sometimes gets a little bit bored and tries to do things that we're not asking him to do, but he's got all the ability in the world.
I was impressed with him against Avery when I come over and watched. He done well.
He's a good player. Strikes a ball 2 feet, which you need. He's done well for us.
Of course, the other ones, Lane Edie. He's the ones that he's on the pitch, but no one knows he's on the pitch. You know, he just does the job, does it, and comes off it.
Yeah, he's best left back in this league by a long way, in my opinion.
I'll disagree, but there we are. We've both got opinions now. Good player.
First name on the sheet, basically. He is 7-8 out of 10 every week.
But have you and Danny ever felt, and this has been a discussion between me and Ray on numerous occasions, I've always liked to see us go out and get another left back, and that might sound the silliest thing in the world. What you've just said. But what I'm trying to say is we've got another left back in there and then stick him left side of midfield.
You will have seen it a few times. He has done that.
He did it in the Ware game as well, didn't he? I think in one of the cups.
That's right. I think Luke Cuthbert played there for a bit. Obviously, Luke got injured, so that eliminated that option. We had Michael Toner, who could have gone in there. But I think you've got to think about as well who else we've got who can play left side up top.
So
this is why you're doing so well.
And I spoke to a lot of it. You've got a hell of a lot of pace wide with them people, and I think you need that.
Frightening.
And that's what gets you, also helps Alex out as well. Yeah. You know, when you've got people just getting in behind fullbacks, as I watched you against Avery, both sides. I know Junior Apaya didn't have the best of games on the right that time, but then you swapped it over and bang away went.
This is a conversation we have with all. We've got four. Yep. Jared Small as well.
I like Jared. Yeah,
we've got four great wingers in this level of football.
Yep.
So whenever we leave one of them out, they're disappointed, or we leave a pair of them out. But the fact is, from our point of view, whichever two of the four that we put out to play, and they can all play both sides as well, will cause anyone problems. And then if you're a fullback and after 60 minutes we bring on another one,
the thing about it is with wingers as well, I've found experience is that they don't put a run of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games together of that quality, because otherwise someone comes and watches and does a job, and when you can switch them about, keeps them fresh.
But that's wide men in general,
it is
inconsistent, and that's one of the reasons why you end up playing wide,
but that's why you need four of them.
The tough part for us has been to keep them all happy, and it's not been easy at times. But when you're winning games, it's a lot easier.
Yeah, where you are, that's it, and you've got all this here. People want to play for you.
I think out of four of them, my favourite two are definitely Mr. Dads. Mr. Dads are just absolutely different class on and off the pitch. He's just a really nice bloke, and the pace on him, especially I think it was in the Avery game when he gave him about a metre and just
the last
flew,
goal he took very well as well.
And just flew past him as he's standing.
Well, he ended up centre forward the last few minutes there, but he likes to try and wind me up. Which footed is he? That's the question. That's what he keeps trying to tell me.
But Shane Stamp as well is the other one I like as well.
Shane's a player that you don't want to come on, and he might not like this, but he's an impact player for me. And you get them. He does do well at the start and has games, but he's the one, as Spence just said, after 60 minutes when the fullback's getting run around and a bit tired and you bring him on, it's like, you know, anything can happen then. And
Shane's come on bundles in terms of his end product. We do a lot of work in training on that. The guys are obviously frightening pace-wise, but our delivery's not always
spot. You run so quick with a ball. It is a difficult thing to do.
But it's that slowing your mind down, and we do a lot of work on the right type of cross to put in. And rather than just fizzing it across the box, we're trying to give them a bit of a football brain, which isn't always that easy.
I mean, one of the goals, I know there's been a bit on... one of the other radio stations is turning around and saying about if you've seen a goal this season in non-league that's absolutely brilliant, send it in. And I've been very tempted to send in Shane's diving header, because that was just something else. Well, that was just one of the best goals
I've ever seen. The second goal against us at home was a great goal as well.
Who scored that one?
That was him, wasn't it?
I can't remember. Was it Stampy, was it?
Wasn't there, but so
he broke down the left and he absolutely out sprinted everyone, cut inside and just buried it at bottom corner.
Yeah, I remember the diving header. Smalley went down the right hand side.
And I called that on the actual. We got that on film as well, and it's just a fantastic goal, absolutely brilliant goal.
But that's what you train for.
Yeah.
One sided winger putting the ball in, and the other one arriving at the back post. When they don't do it, we shout at them. But yeah, that was spot on that day.
Well, there's a question come in through email, and it's for you, Spence.
Someone giving me a stick, no doubt.
Am I playing Saturday?
Yeah. This is from Ian. Yeah. So he said, could you put this question to Spencer? Does he have any intention of pushing for the manager's job?
Oh, wow. Wow.
No.
Chapo's not here, don't worry.
Cool. He's only next door. So.
Yeah, that's a question off, isn't it?
Hit me with that straight away. No, is the answer. More than happy with the role I've got. Chapo will be the manager at this football club until he decides he no longer wants to be. Doing a great job.
Yeah.
I came in the summer and like to think I've helped out in some way, but there's no doubt who's in charge here and he will be for the foreseeable.
So what about getting back playing?
I have a little run out for the vets. We've made the Ryman Vets Cup final. So I'm still the best player in training.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to get him to sign the Ryman forms
for the playoffs
all season
or the winning. Sorry.
So deadline day, I might manage to get it done, but no, I wouldn't get in this team. Is the honest answer.
Mm.
So I'm happy to watch.
So with deadline day sort of coming up,
yeah.
I mean, how many is it just going to be a case of if something comes up, then we'll sign them, or is it a case of you've got in your mind of. I'm not expecting to say names, but numbers of people that you might need to be getting in before deadline day, or you're looking at, say, some of the academy players, you think we better get a few more of them added onto the list just in case something happens.
Are you worth signing as well before deadline, just in case anything?
Yeah, I probably will do just for...
Just to get a winner's medal?
Just in case. I think you've played 10 games. I looked it up already.
Oh.
I might do, but the fact is that the academy boys, we've had them in... throughout the season, a couple of them, and just to get a bit of experience and be in and around on the bench. You probably wouldn't want to go into a playoff final with those boys on the bench, but we've been looking. We've got a couple out for this weekend, so we've been trying to get a couple of extra bodies on board this week. It's not been easy. Like I say, we might be able to announce one maybe before the end of the week, but we've got a couple of other young lads who have been training with us who look good prospects, so we'll sign them on. But I think we've probably got 20 anyway, which is probably just about enough.
And one of those for Saturday, of course, is going to be a big loss as well, isn't it?
Fabian?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been... the role that he plays, we haven't got anyone else who can really do it in that manner. So, yeah, we might have to... We'll mix it up. It's an opportunity for somebody else. But, yeah, like I say, we've got Billy Jones, Robbie Martin can play in there, Cowley can play in
there. I said, can't Popey play in there and Robbie sticking the right back
in? Well,
Popey's
suspended this weekend.
So he can't play there then.
Yeah, so he's out for two games. So
I will say, like, over the years, I really rate Robbie Martin. I think he's got everything. Pace, everything, midfield, energy. You know, great lad. Well, an unbelievable player to have on the bench. But really, he'd get in most sides. Yeah.
Ross's been unfortunate, really. Really good footballer.
Yeah.
Can play anywhere. Which is
sometimes, a downside, yeah.
Sometimes to your detriment. Popey's out, so we've got a space at right back this week. We've got Ben Glasgow as well, who's played a lot of games and done really well.
Yeah, he came on against Avely, didn't he? Yeah.
Good player. So there's competition everywhere. So I'd like to think out there tonight they'll be battling
and
trying to train well and make our mind up, because we haven't decided on the side for Saturday, and with two people out there's a big opportunity.
Yeah.
So I know we sit down, it's a Friday night discussion almost every week of what the team is going to be, do you know what I mean, between me and Ray, and it's nowhere near, we'd never get anywhere near it, you know, every week. I think
it probably changes from Friday night to Saturday morning anyway.
Yeah,
so
of course
it's quite funny sometimes. You sit there and you look and you think, well, after last week it's definitely got to be this, and then you get the team sheet comes in. Where did that come from?
Yeah, but sometimes,
but it works.
Sometimes a team picks itself, and you always like to keep a back four. So, but sometimes you get late injuries. We had Warren Goodine pulled out on Friday last week, he would have started, or he started and he had to come off injured. So we've always got good players ready to play. So if someone's not ready, our backup players are plenty good enough.
But it was this time last year that Junior Dadson had his run of scoring, outscoring Reedy, I think, after the end of the year, sort of this sort of time of year, and he's sort of coming to into the equation again and banging them in.
Yeah, and doing it from wide areas, which is important. It's all about end product from out wide. So they either need to get a cross in or a shot.
Yeah.
And yes, with Reedy being injured, we miss him. Of course, we're going to miss him. But yeah, we've won all the games without him so far, and we'll try and keep that up. Billy played up front on Saturday, worked his socks off, did really well, scored a good goal. Good finish, and if he gets opportunities, he knows where the net is. He's done really well. Bill.
Tough game Saturday, because I said Brighton, you see a big side. I watched them 2 weeks ago. I said up front, Ben, I called him Sam earlier, apologies, but Ben can score goals.
Yeah, I like him, he's a good player.
Yeah, I do. His movement's good, he comes inside, and they're quite a big, solid side.
We struggled up there. We only drew one each up there, and we're probably a bit lucky to get the draw on the day. So, yeah, no, we're under no illusions. We know it's going to be a tough game. And, we've got a couple of people out, so...
Yeah, and that was Billy's first goal for the club up there as well, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. he just come in. He played a couple of games for Enfield, and then we signed him. No, he's done well.
And he's a very underrated player, isn't he, I think, Billy? I think he's one of those players. It's, again, you can see that he's got quality oozing out of him. I think he's just getting that experience in getting a run on it.
He might be underrated from outside, but certainly not...
In a club.
Not at the club and not from the players. The boys know.
What did shock me when I come over and watched the other week was where you played Anton.
Where did we play him that day?
You played him just behind Billy. You played him as a one-up, sort of as a midfield, just behind him as a centre midfielder, really. But that shocked me a little bit.
There was some long discussions as to which way round we would play the pair of Billy and Anton. There was a discussion during the game, do we switch them? What Antoine gives you is great presence in the air. And we just felt we needed that against Averley. We felt it was going to be a battle. And we just felt that he'd be the right man for the job in there. And
yeah. He done well. I did do well.
He generally wins it in the air.
Yeah.
And we know that, so we can pick the pieces up. So
this is why I thought it worked really well with... Danny in the middle, because you had Fabian just behind him, and he could pick pieces up of both, and then get it wide. And I think we got a lot of space in there.
Yeah, so we've always got loads of options, but it worked out out well that day. Big win against Averley that day. We needed that one.
Yeah,
and this time last year as well. I think some games you even played at centre half, Leon as well.
Well, he wins his headers and clears his lines, Harling.
Rock solid.
Well, he's best with his head rather than his feet. So anything like that's good.
I mean, now then. So we going into the running. I mean, where do you see sort of sticky games after this week? Is it where do you see the sort of the games? Our games, Needham's games. Is when they go down. Do you look at certain games now?
Easter weekend.
And Chapo and looking at it and go,
it's going to have to be the Easter weekend.
Easter's big and pitches start drying out as well. That's going to be a big thing.
Yeah. So we play. Our pitch is going to dry out.
Yeah.
We play Cray at home and then we go to Ware. So local derby Ware and.
And they've got Dereham and Wroxham.
So two local games for them. So I think you've got to look there that you could pick up 6 points over that weekend. And
the nerves start coming in as well when you get into April. They do. You've got little injuries and whatever.
Yeah, that's it. It's tough to turn around a Saturday to Monday. So if you take a knock on the Saturday, you could easily lose 3 or 4 players for the Monday afternoon.
Yeah. I suppose it comes into it, I suppose, your jobs, if it's your jobs or if it's Needham Markets jobs, whichever way it pans out in the end, it's going to be very, very tough to get the boys' heads up at either Needham or here. If you end up finishing second, to end up having to get those heads up to go again for the...
I spoke about this to you the other week, though, Dad. I don't think it is. I think if you've got that mentality, then you won't win the playoffs. You've just got to go, right, the end of the season is the end of the season. If we finish first, we finish first. Because this is going to go down to the last game of the season, no matter what, because of the Needham-Harlow game the second to the last week. So it's going to go down to at least the last week. If you lose it, you've just got to then think, right, I'm in a semi-final of the Cup. And that is how we done it when we were in it. We got to the semi-final. Once you're in the semi-final, you can win it. Forget about, you know, your main objective is getting promoted. It doesn't matter how you do it at the end of the year. And that's the mentality that we went into it. Obviously, we weren't leading it, but, you know, that's the way we try to approach it.
Yeah, and I think you've got to look at it that if we are in the playoffs, we'll be at home.
Yeah.
For as long as we stay in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So not many teams come here and beat us. So, and the teams that are in the playoffs or are going to be in the playoffs, Sudbury came here and shut up shop. You won't be able to do that. It's a cup tie.
No, it is a cup tie, yeah.
So people are going to have to come and play to try and win.
Well,
and
looking at the fixtures, well, obviously we don't want to put you in the playoffs. Well, I don't know. Right? But you will be at home, and to me, Sudbury are going to finish third. So you're either going to get Dereham, and they're on a, you know, they're fourth and bottom in the form thing at the moment. Yeah. People are beating them. So Dereham, Brentwood, Thurrock, it's going to be one of them sides that you could meet. So, you know, you will fancy it if you look at that run. And they won't fancy playing you anyway because of how well that you or Needham, if yeah. Needham are in it. Because, like I said, you know, you've basically stretched your way away from them, the other sides.
Yeah, we'll fancy it against anyone.
Yeah.
And rightly so.
Yeah.
Hmm. So, yeah, we won't be worried about whoever it is.
I suppose on paper, the one you don't want to see finishing fifth is Thurrock.
Yeah, I don't mind Thurrock. We perhaps owe them one. Hmm. So, sometimes I wasn't here last year, but I've heard enough stories about the playoff final and how maybe the boys were a little bit complacent. That won't happen if we play Thurrock for sure because they've turned us over. So, that might be a better one for us, Dave.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, no, it's just, you look at it on paper, and because you see tweets go out, people say that we've never beaten them or and this sort of stuff, and you think, and they're sort of sitting
there.
Yeah,
but if you remember the game here.
Yeah, it was, we should have won it.
Chucked one in the last minute.
Well, I think he was given a right hook in the last minute. Yeah,
he chucked one in. So we should have won that game.
Yeah.
So they're not bad. Mm. Don't get me wrong, they're not a bad side, but we won't be worried.
Mm.
I'd actually make you favourites in there, but like I said, you're not there yet, and and there is a hell of a lot to play for here. And I said there's going to be twists and turns, especially as Spence said, the Easter thing for Needham to play them two teams over Easter is huge.
Yeah, and both of those sides won't want Needham winning the league.
No, definitely not. No, they won't. They won't.
I think it's going to be. Say, I said to Ray,
both sides will need points to stay in the playoffs as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, I said to Ray months ago, you know, that's going to be the telling point. Will be those two games because you've got Wroxham and Dereham in close succession. You've got two teams that are up and around the top there, and they've got some great, you know, you've got some good players. Luke Tuttle's just come back for Dereham as well, so he'll be more match fit. So
he scored a couple of goals against Waltham Abbey the other night. We were over there watching two good goals. He didn't do much against us on Saturday, to be fair, but in the week he looked a decent player.
And you've got the likes of Christy Finch and all the rest of it down at and Remy and that down at Wroxham. So
they score loads of goals, Wroxham.
Wroxham do. Wroxham is a difficult place to go and play at Wroxham.
Yeah. I mean, they've got, 88 goals so far this season, Wroxham. So I mean, we lead it with 93, but they're on 88, alongside Needham with 88, Thurrock on 83.
It's going to be a great finish, Dave, whichever way, even the playoffs will be, you know, there'll be four good sides in that playoff, as both leagues, all the leagues will be, to be honest, but exciting times the last few weeks. You'd rather be here than the other end, and this is what you play for. Your season's right to the end.
I've been at the other end with Ware a couple of seasons ago, trying to fight to stay in this league. So it's definitely much better trying to fight to get out of it.
I think the one of the best games I've seen was down at Ware in a certain way. I think it was Boxing Day a couple of years ago.
Not when I scored a couple, Dave.
Was it? I might. When it tipped down in rain, we got abandoned.
Yeah, I scored two and it got abandoned, so they got tripped off.
Nice.
Yeah.
It was scandalous. The day was absolutely scandalous. It should never have been called off in a million years. We should have never started in the first place.
Yeah, once you've started it and I've scored two, I was trying to tell the ref just to see it out, but he was...
Remember Danny...
Chappo was making sure it got called off.
Suit was getting dirty, touchline?
I think it had something to do with Danny Brown doing a sliding tackle and going about 60 yards across the pitch at the time. And
yeah,
the ref...
he did. And then when it got replayed, we got done 4-1. Yeah, I remember it well.
It was just the most amazing game you've ever seen in your life. It was just... You just couldn't believe what was going on. We just picked the pocket, I think, on that day. It was just because it was a chase between us and you at that stage. Could have been a possible relegation thing as well, wouldn't it, at the time. So I mean, Rom and Prem, if we go back to the Rom Prem, I mean, who do you think's going to finally get up out there and playoffs as well? Who do we think is going to make it?
I said this the other week about Maidstone, with their strength, and I know they've got to play each other, and hopefully Terry's coming on a little while, but I think most of them will win it. Then the playoffs, it's up for grabs. Obviously, Hendon will definitely be in it. Margate will be the other. I hope, because Gavin's my mate, Dulwich will stay in, but again, their run of form is very poor at the moment. Met Police as well, they're on the downslide for their run of form. You know, they're both in the bottom five for form at the moment, so it could, someone like Enfield could poke in, or someone come up on the rails. But I think, as much as we've just spoken long and hard about the Ryman North, the Ryman Prem League this year has been excellent, and I've watched a hell of a lot of games, and the bottom's going to be just as interesting than the top as well.
So who do you reckon they're three down from there this year?
What, the Prem?
Yeah.
As I said, you don't know at the moment, and I may be wrong, but the team's getting a reprieve. It goes across the Northern, Southern, and obviously one in the Southern's already going to get one because of the Salisbury situation, or the Hereford. So the next best place will be the fourth place team across the leagues on points. And they've both got the moment. At the moment, it's in the Northern League. They're about 6 points clear of the Ryman Prem. But if another team goes or whatever, that's how they open it up. It'll be the Ryman Prem and so on. So you've just got to battle it out. But, you know, the teams have got to play each other down there as well. I think even Saturday, I think Hornchurch have got another biggie. And
I know when Nick Robinson was on here, and he said about, he said when the teams were at the bottom, he said, if you look at majority of those teams that are at the bottom, they're all actually Ryman North sides. He said, So where do you put them?
That's it. And you've got to look at that. Yeah. And you know, there's also, and we've mentioned this before, and I might be wrong, but the ground grading comes into it as well at that level. And they've got, you know, P-Save, and I know we're struggling. They were very, hopefully they're getting it done now. I know VCD are basically nearly there with theirs. Whitam, obviously, that they need to stand, and that, I think that's being delivered. So it's, you know, it's going to be, it's, if you look at the teams, Bury, they'll go in the North, VCD, Harrow Borough, I think, will get moved over.
They won't like that.
They won't, but Northwood are in the Southern and all that. So I think Harrow will get moved over. I may be wrong. Whitam will come down if they come down. So, there's three or four sides, but they just have to change it geographically again, won't they? It's one of them things. I think it's like the teams coming up.
Yeah, it could end up.
The teams coming up.
But then it could end up meaning the likes of Chatham and Ware get moved about again.
Well, Ware nearly went this year, didn't they?
They did, yeah. They got reprieve and come back, didn't they? Yeah. So
makes a big difference, that, to the players you're trying to sign.
It does. It is massive. It is huge. You know, it happened to Potter's Bar, didn't it? They got moved across.
Yeah.
And that sort of side's there. And, you know, like I said, the side's coming up. Where would they go? I know the sides, I call the Kent League, if it's Phoenix or even, but they will come in the North. Who are still unbeaten, by the way, Phoenix. So, and I think in the Essex League, they would come in the North as well,
Harringay,
wouldn't they?
At the moment,
Harringay, teams coming down from the Conference South. Where, you know,
Staines,
they've dropped down in the Prem. So, it's going to be a few teams moved about this year, I think.
Could end up playing anywhere in the end.
Well, we'll go straight in the Conference North if you want.
Why not?
Yeah, take the jump.
Yeah.
Just fill the space.
I don't know if you've seen the league tables, but the Prem, even East Thurrock, went on a little bit of a wobble. They're still in it. You know, I'd say the top three places, Hendon, Margate and Dulwich, if it stayed as it is, are cemented. There's a seven-point gap after that. And then it's out of Met Police, Enfield, you know, Wingate. I think Wingate have got, they got Dulwich, or they got Margate this week. Wingate and Finchley. So, you know, that could even open up there. But that's going to go down to the wire, that is.
It's a big team, as you say, big teams at the bottom, big teams at the top. And people say, like, you know, what is the strongest league? Is it the South or is it the North? Well, I suppose you're looking at it on this year's performances, you might have to say the South's the stronger league because the South's are higher.
Listen, where I live, everyone's from the South and they keep going to South. But if you look at, you know, I'm not going to argue, but if you look at the teams when you play them in the Cup, the North teams normally beat the teams in the South in the Cup sometimes. But that, if you look at statistics.
Yeah.
But you could look at that, not many, you know, the two teams, Leatherhead were a big club anyway, and they've done extremely well over there, you know, to be, and they're not at the playoffs either, but they're a big club and should be where they are. And Peacehaven have come up, you know, with their connections from Whitehawk, and then obviously they've had their bit of up and down off the pitch. So,
but if you get promoted, you have to go with a bit of ambition for me.
Yeah.
A lot of these sides get promoted and they look like they don't even want to be in that league. See, they don't. I know it's tough, but you have to invest. But
yeah,
but I don't know. You, I look at the likes of Whittam and think, do they really want to be up there?
I think they do, and it's like when we was in Spencer, and I can say the same to VCD. We're small clubs, and like, you know, when you're only averaging, you know, I want to watch. You know, VCD had 54 people on Saturday. Yeah. You can't drag people through the gate. Leatherhead get 200, 300, 400 because they're a big club. You know, yeah. That is them. VCD are a small club in a small town, surrounded by loads of other clubs. And Whittam are fairly similar. They're the smaller club, I would say, around that area. Yeah. And, you know, I don't think they're going to. You know, I've got Chelmsford, obviously, all around, as well as you know, the others. So even yourselves, if you look at the clubs that can adapt. If I put you and Needham Market next to each other, yeah. I would say Harlow would be more prepared to go in the Ryman Premier, in my experience, than what Needham are. Your setup, your draw, your fan base, and I know Needham's isn't bad, yeah. But you know you've got that. And again, if you go across to the south and you look at, you know, Burgess Hill, they've you know they've been there, that they've got good facilities. But so are Folkestone. Would Faversham struggle in that area? They get good think, but they've not been in it. So I think you know you need to be in that position where you are a small club. And you know we thought last year, as we said, and I was saying this to Tony and all the teams around the bottom. People put on really, really weird results. And we won 9 out of 10. Go on, got someone coming in.